This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello, everyone. You heard the lady. That's right. This is Polykill, and we are your hosts. As always, I am Travis. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TravPlaysGames. I'm partial to the old stuff, and I'm a huge Simpsons fan. Little known fact.
And I'm Jake. I'm the other half of the show. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMcAxel. And I happen to love a good magic act.
A good magic hat?
Act.
Ah, that makes sense.
Good magic act.
That makes sense. Do you do any magic?
Not at all.
Oh.
I did one trick back in the day, and it was when I first started dating my wife, and it was her reaction to it was priceless.
And that's why you're married today. You're a one-trick pony, but that's all you needed.
That's all I needed.
It is all you needed. If you like us together, you can follow us together at Polykill.
Yeah.
Just that.
That's on Twitter.
Simple. That's
on
Polykill Twitter. There on the Twitter.
On the Twitterism.
Last week, we released Off-Kilter number 4. It was entitled Cinematic Adventures and Embarrassing Lightsabers.
Yeah.
And got a lot of listens. People liked it.
It did, yeah. A lot of comments and some good stories were told on the cast.
And as always happens with these, we'll read people's stories and then riff off of them for that podcast. Mm-hmm. But then people will hear the podcast and then share more of those stories. So even we have now a few more movie and moving and at this point, dildo stories, thanks to that
that's fantastic.
Broadcast. So that's good. That's good. We're going to jump right into the business meat.
Business meat.
Recent pickups and on the radar.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't picked up anything, even from a collector standpoint.
Damn.
I didn't pick up anything. It's been a dry couple weeks for me on the front.
Yeah.
Haven't bought a thing. Haven't spent money on a thing. Well, I take that back. So GameStop had some amiibos on a clearance.
Okay.
On clearance.
Okay.
And so I was able to pick up some amiibos I didn't have. I got like 3 amiibos for less than the price of what 2 amiibos typically go for.
Very nice.
And I didn't set out to collect amiibos, but I guess I am.
I guess it just happened.
I guess it happened. But that's all I've done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't buy anything.
Yeah, and in terms of games coming out between April 24th and May 8th, our episode cycle, there's a couple that I have my eye on. I misspoke last episode. I said that Outlast 2 was coming out next week. What I meant was we're going to talk about it next episode, which would be this episode. So
gotcha.
Sorry about that. But it does release April 25th on the PS4 and Xbox One. Of course, if you've listened to us, about a year ago, I guess, me and friend Brian co-op the first one, couch co-op the first one, and it was a great experience. Like, you're helpless, you have no weapons, you're just running and hiding and dodging all of the demonic and satanic enemies and scary guys in this old hospital. And you said that Outlast 2 you'd read up on is a bit more about the occult.
It's more about a cult, not the occult necessarily. I'm sure it probably plays some in there, but it's more about a weird religious cult out in the desert. So
out of the desert, so completely
switches up the environment.
Yeah that's cool. So I'm looking forward to that.
I love that crap.
Yeah, what about you, anything?
I got a couple on here. I have one that's releasing on April 25th, so very soon. What Remains of Edith Finch is the title of the game. And it's being developed for Microsoft Windows PC and PS4. So interestingly enough, it doesn't seem like there's an Xbox release, at least now. I don't know if it's a timed console exclusive or not. But it's by Giant Sparrow, who did The Unfinished Swan, or Unfinished Swan, or I can't remember the exact title. But it's a fantastic looking game. It looks very moody, atmospheric. It's a first person adventure style game. So I'm kind of interested in that. And I really like what they did with The Unfinished Swan. Very unique gameplay. If you haven't checked that out, you should.
Can you expand on the gameplay? What is it all about?
Really, I haven't dabbled much into looking at it, honestly.
You just saw who made it. You thought.
I saw who made it, and I saw the announcement trailer like a year or maybe 2 years ago at this point. And it sort of feels like the vibe I got from the trailer was a bit Alan Wakey, a little kind of surreal style stuff going on there.
Sure.
And based on the title, I think it's probably some sort of introspective or existential detective story or missing person story or something like that. I could be way off. I haven't really looked into it since I saw stuff on it a while back, just mainly because I want to go into it fresh.
Yeah, when I read the title, I immediately thought it was probably one of those walking simulator games for
right.
some reason.
Right. I think it probably will be, which is awesome. I like those.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
And one that we both have here is Prey.
Yeah.
And that's been coming out on all the
normal things. Suspects.
Yeah. PS4, Xbox One, PC, dropping May 5th. It's a revamp, I guess, or I don't know, maybe just a new take on, maybe just an excuse to use Prey as a title for
a
game.
I think so. Did you play the OG Prey back on Xbox 360? It was interesting. It had some neat ideas. I think it's kind of looked back now as kind of a cult classic because I think it was very underappreciated. It had enough wheels turning, I guess, sales-wise and corporately to spawn a sequel that was in development hell for ages, and like there was always these rumors of it coming out, and like you'd buy games and there'd be a Prey 2 flyer in the game case, and then you know it never came out. So I think when Bethesda acquired the IP, they just sort of used the name. I doubt that these games are going to be connected in any way, but I really like what I'm seeing. It kind of looks like a BioShock meets Dishonored in space sort of thing, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I don't. We've not seen any gameplay from this, have we?
Yeah, we have.
We have?
Well, I have.
Okay.
I guess you haven't.
I was thinking, I guess the last I've seen of it was E3 last year, and it just seemed like it was a cinematic sort of
grab
you by the, you know, the eyeballs
kind
of thing. But it looked really cool. I really liked, it was one of the few things. Did they show that during the Bethesda conference or the Xbox conference?
I think it was the Bethesda conference, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Either way, it was one of the few things that I could get on an Xbox that got me excited last E3, so.
There you go.
It is one that's still on my radar, and I'm
likewise
looking forward to see, you know, what people think about it.
Me too. Yeah. I mean, like, it's sort of taken over in the news right now because that's really the biggest release on, you know, the calendar for the next little bit, really.
Well, it's going to be the biggest release, I guess, for the Xbox One in my eyes for the last few months.
Yeah, you know, that's fair.
I mean, it's not an exclusive, but it's something I can play, so I'm excited about that.
Word.
So that takes us to our new segment we like to call Hot Jakes. Hit that Hot Jake music. We're going to drop it right here. This is what you're going to hear on this segment today. Nintendo discontinues NES Mini.
Nintendo hates money.
SNES Mini rumors.
Nintendo might like money.
Battlefront 2 announcement.
Let's hope there's a campaign.
Let's hope there is a campaign. All right, let's get into it. Nintendo discontinues NES Mini. What's going on?
That's fucking stupid is what it is. It's really fucking stupid. And here's the thing, you know, with the whole controlled, distribution or perceived controlled distribution of various amiibo units, people had these weird, I guess, almost conspiracy theory level ideas that Nintendo likes to control the market in like secondary sellers and eBay and things like that, and maybe somehow they benefit from this, and I don't know. And everyone's like, nah, it's not that. They just they can't make enough. And then here comes NES Mini, and right out the gate, there's not enough for everybody. People can't find them. People are selling them for $600 on eBay.
Ridiculous.
Like the week of release.
Mm-hmm.
Demand has not really subsided. Supply has continued to be low, and now they're just going to discontinue it.
Yeah, it's baffling.
I don't understand. I mean, why? People are ready to spend money for this. I mean, it's tickling the nostalgia bone. It's right there where you want it. It's perfect little setup. It makes a great gift.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you want a gift, like, you know, everyone's consumed with, I can make my own Retro Pie or whatever. Like, yeah, you can, but what if you're, you know, old uncle or old dad wants to just play, you know, Balloon Fight Mario, or I don't know, Balloon Fight might not be on there, but just, you know, just these basic NES titles that he
classics.
Remembers. Yeah, it's a great gift for people like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
I don't understand the logic or the business reason. It may honestly be due to what the second item was, that maybe they just wanted to stop that so they can, you know, push out some SNES minis. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they just didn't have the production facility space to do both lines, and they wanted to do a SNES Mini. I don't know.
I could see if initially they were caught, like if there was initially not enough, because maybe they really did think that it wouldn't sell that well, and initially this was the case. But then they would, you know, catch up, and we would, you know.
Right, yeah.
It seems like now they would know that, oh, we should make tons more of them. We should sell them.
Yeah, we should have these on shelves everywhere because people
just
buy them.
They're shutting it down. So I almost wonder, like, you know, if the SNES Mini thing, which I'll let you expand on if you got some thoughts, but if that's a real thing, because right now it's kind of just rumor. Like,
right.
It's like verified rumor or whatever, but it's like, you know, Nintendo, as far as I know, hasn't released anything.
I just checked right before we started, and there's still no confirmation.
Yeah, so, I mean, that could just be
as
something
of the recording
that
of this podcast.
Someone, you know, planted out there on the internet, and we're all running with it. Or maybe Nintendo did it just to see how we'd react.
Yeah.
But
It's hateful. If that's the case.
But maybe they will, you know, if they release like a SNES Mini, maybe they'll re-release a NES Mini alongside with it, because I think they wanted to, or there were some complaints about, you know.
I mean, there were some issues with it, like the controller cords are super short, things like that.
Yeah.
That they could revamp.
Yeah, I think it was maybe they were going to remove like some USB port to it, so make it less hackable. That sounds like something Nintendo would try to take care of.
True.
So, I don't know. Maybe it's not discontinued forever, because discontinued doesn't mean.
Right.
By itself doesn't mean, you know, cease for eternity.
It maybe just that version.
No more right now, at least. So,
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So, you got any more on SNES Mini rumors?
SNES Mini, it's also a great idea. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone now is going to be even more gun shy about
this. Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
You know, I think people are going to probably either avoid it completely. And what's going to happen is the reseller market is just going to gobble these things up and no one will get them.
Yeah,
I'm afraid that's what will happen. I don't know. I mean, those of us that pay attention to this stuff probably will have that attitude, or at least some of them will. I don't know about the general public. I don't know if they notice this as much as those of us who pay attention to it. Because believe it or not, the population of the world that games, they don't consume as much game news and media as we do. So
that's true.
Maybe they haven't kept up with it, but. Quick thought. Let me get a draft take here. What games would you like to see included in the SNES Mini?
Yeah, it's interesting because there are. I look at the SNES as a really just an RPG focused machine, in the sense that it had that and not a lot else did. You know, even within the Nintendo line, there's not a ton on the NES. There's not a
They've
ton
never
on
really
N64.
Gone back to it either.
The SNES era was pretty strong for that, you know. And then among its contemporaries at the time, you know, the TurboGrafx came out a little before, but graphically it was comparable to the SNES. It had a few. Genesis didn't have a ton. Had a few, but none that really stuck out like the SNES ones did. But you can't really, and we're all assuming they're going to just put 30 games on it. But if you do 30 games and 10 to 12 of them are RPGs, I mean, I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah. I mean, I think there'll probably be some classic Mario games on there.
Of course, Mario
Super
Kart.
Mario World, Mario Kart.
Maybe even All-Stars.
Maybe Yoshi's Island.
Yeah, all that stuff. I'm sure.
All that stuff will be on there. But I would like to see some cool Fringe stuff on there, too, that maybe wasn't necessarily would be.
Yeah, and it's whatever they have the rights to, so I don't know if.
Yeah, first-party publishing.
Konami or Capcom or whoever.
I don't think we're going to see NBA Jam on it.
What's that?
I don't think we'll see NBA Jam on it.
Yeah, yeah, probably not.
That's a shame.
But yeah, that's. I don't know. There's a lot of hot takes out there. Not hot jakes, but hot takes out there for what 30 games people want, or have been dreaming about the SNES Mini ever since the NES Mini was announced. So
yeah.
I'm not saying my ideas are definitive, but I do think overloading it with RPGs would be a bit of a mistake. I mean, maybe some of the rare ones like Chrono Trigger and Earthbound that people can't actually.
I think that Earthbound on that, people would lose their shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's been available in the
still. It's, I mean, that's a name that a lot of people know.
Yeah,
I feel like it's not a lot of people realize that it is more readily available than it was a few years ago, just
due
to the digital distribution.
Yep. So Battlefront 2 announcement and a bit of a trailer.
Yeah, okay. I haven't watched the second trailer. I watched the initial trailer. Well, maybe I did watch, though. I don't remember. I can't remember if there's been two actual trailers at this point. But anyway, I did watch one of them. It looks like it's going to try to right some of the wrongs from the first one, because the first one was, you know, it played well. You know, it played like a Battlefield in Star Wars. Lots of the environments that you know and love from Star Wars were there, including a lot of the classic trilogy stuff, as well as some Rogue One stuff. You know, different elements that you kind of would hope from a Battlefront game were missing, like a single player campaign and like a full on space battle. They are saying that a full single player campaign is going to be in here.
That's huge for someone like me.
Yeah, and that's important. It's important that they bring that back, because that's, you know, you don't play Star Wars games necessarily just for the gameplay, because you like Star Wars because you like the world. At least that's my take on it.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that, you know, having a story is important, and apparently they're gonna be pulling from multiple timelines inside Star Wars. So that's cool.
What did you think of the first Battlefront? Did you play a lot of it?
Not a lot. Not really, hardly any at all. Not enough to really form a strong opinion, our definitive opinion. I liked it. I thought it was okay.
It was really pretty.
But
I didn't feel like it went very deep. It was just...
No, it was very surface.
A lot of pretty...
Yeah.
A lot of good paint. Not underneath the hood. For me, anyway, I'm a casual Star Wars fan, and I'm maybe an above average casual gamer. So it didn't thrill me a ton. It's not something I would pay $60 for.
Nope, I got it for free on the EA subscription.
So there you go.
That's how I played it.
But I am excited about Battlefront 2. You know, if they can again, if a campaign finds its way in there and it turns out to be pretty solid. I mean, I know if it's a game that graphical, you know, like a lot of the Call of Duty campaigns, you know, where people don't usually buy Call of Duties for the campaign. They're looking for that multiplayer experience, but the Call of Duty campaigns are usually in there. They're really good, but they're not terribly long. They're like, you know, 6 to 8 hours,
right.
maybe 10 hours with a good Call of Duty game.
Right.
You know, even something like that. It doesn't have to be a saga.
Agreed.
Just something that I can get in there and do on my own and play around with.
Yeah, totally. And the thing that I love about any Star Wars game, and it's just gotten better over time with the advancement in technology, is the sounds. Like, Star Wars sounds are like the best sounds, period. So like the blazing sounds of the TIE fighter and the lasers going off and the musical scores, nothing kind of transports me in a game sound wise like a Star Wars game.
There you go.
So I'm digging it. So we'll hopefully get more on that at E3. The game is out in November. It already has a release date. So
wow. Well, there you go. So what happened the last time we did a Polykill?
Let's listen and find out.
Previously on Polykill, Jake goes deep on a new hot take segment that touches on Palmer Luckey's Oculus departure, the announcement of Destiny 2, and the flops on the new Scorpio. Trav gets back on the horse with a Polykill by beating Rise of the Tomb Raider, Bayonetta 2, and Chip and Dale on NES. Jake spends most of his time not playing Overwatch, exploring the stylish and addictive Persona 5. Did Trav and his couch co-op partner hit a wall in Fatal Frame? Can Jake convince Trav that Overwatch is worth a chance? Multiplayer games they prefer and why they prefer them serve as the topic of discussion.
All right, so that was what we did last episode. Yeah. And if it sounds like we're coming off a 3-day bender of doing nothing but drinking and playing video games and not getting much sleep, that's because that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So we apologize for that. But games that we've added to the backlog, and we're going to apologize for this too, is that I'm seeing here that neither of us added a game to our pile of shame.
There we go.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I didn't, because I'm not buying any games, and nothing that has been added to like those instant game collections or free games, if you want to call
like
them
EA
that.
EA Access
or games Xbox Live. Yeah, yeah, all those. Nothing's really jumped out at me that's like, I need to put this on the backlog immediately. I mean, I'll probably play some of these at some point, but just nothing there that made me said, yeah, let me put this in queue.
For me, I think it's because I have just these honkers, man. Not boobs on
right.
my body, but
right.
you know, I got The Witcher and Dragon Quest 8, like just some big games. I just want to, you know, when I get credits on those, I might start funneling some things back onto the pile.
Sure.
But for now, I can't even think about another game to play.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I am, you know, between what I've been playing, Overwatch and Persona, and before that, Horizon, you know, all these have just occupied my gaming mental space, aside from those Tony Hawk runs that I've done. You know, and that's all. I've been very happy with that, and I don't feel the need to muddy the water.
There you go. All right, we'll move on then. So we've never really, you know, we always sing certain transitions, but we've never done a completed one.
Right.
So we'll let's wrap this one in.
Okay, I'll be
terrible. Okay, here we go.
Yeah. Yo, we got games we completed. Not games that we didn't finish and have been deleted.
Okay.
That was terrible.
That was my Little John.
That was also terrible.
Yeah, it was.
So, games we've completed, you know, you know what I just said was, I haven't had time to play other games because I got The Witcher.
Yeah, but look what you did.
Yeah, I beat a lot of games that weren't on my backlog, per se.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. Two NES games, mm-hmm. and one Super Nintendo game. So here we go.
Here we go.
NES game number one, Wampum.
Wampum.
I think that game is made by Jaleco, but that doesn't matter.
I think it is, yeah.
It's fairly, I don't know, it's loosely racist.
I would assume, based on the title.
Yeah, it features a little, you know, Native American kid, and It's just called Wampum and has a picture of a Native American kid on it. I don't know. It's loosely racist, but it's still a fun game. Right. It's a little action platformer. You play as the little Native American kid. It's kind of Mega Man-y. Like you beat a level and you take that boss's power and you can use that throughout the rest of the game.
Nice,
kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like there was some at least study in game design when they made it and didn't just like make whack-a-mole with Native Americans.
yeah,
because it's honestly what I was expecting you to say it was.
No, it's not bad. Yeah,
that's cool.
It's not bad.
That's cool.
And then I had this beat a space shmup as one of my resolutions, and Captain Skyhawk is not quite that. It's no Gradius, it's no R-Type, it's no Darius Twin, yada yada. But it is it's
on the mushy cusp.
Yeah, mushy cusp, if you will, of that. It has shooting mechanics, like a shooter mechanic, so it has three modes to the game. It's actually a fairly interesting game. Hear me out.
Hear you out, sir.
So Captain Skyhawk, now this is it's very common game. You can find it under your pillow at night. It's everywhere. This game's everywhere.
When I get home.
If you collect Captain Skyhawk or NES games, you likely have it. But I would say a lot of people that even collect haven't really given it a chance because it just looks like just another let's fly around in a plane or whatever, shoot 'em up or flight simulator game on the outside looking in. But it's all those things at once. So when you play it, one of the modes is it is a top-down shoot 'em up.
Okay.
You navigate through. You get to a boss. It's not too hard. But there's some challenge there. And then the next phase of each level is a flight sim where you're battling other jets and shooting them, yada, yada. And then the third phase is sort of a mini game where you have to aim the plane into a hangar. And once you get it the first time, you'll never miss it again. So after that, it's kind of easy. But
interesting.
I was able to play through that. It took me maybe four tries, and I got through it without using up all of my continues. And while I won't consider it as a resolution, I beat a space shmup.
You felt like it's good training, though.
Yeah, I felt like, hey, I got a shmup out of the way. Get some little shmup confidence. I get back in there.
Yeah.
Also,
now, is this a game that's based a little bit on muscle memory a little bit, too? I feel like with landing
them,
maybe?
Not with that one. This one's very reactionary.
Okay.
It's not so much knowing where the things are coming from because it moves really fast. I would say, if you played it 10 times, you wouldn't do the same thing two times. Yeah, it's pretty good. And about, shmups in general, I found one that I think I'm going to tackle next, and it's
Blazing Laser.
No, Life Force for the NES. It plays a little bit like Gradius and everything, but I don't know. I just like it more. It just seems it's a little slower, but I think it might even be a sequel or some spiritual successor or predecessor to that series. But it's it looks really cool. So I might get into that one.
Do you own it already?
I do.
Okay, cool.
I do.
Even better.
So, and it was fun two player. It's because I tried it out with a buddy, and I was like, I kind of like this. So I might try that one.
Baller.
And the last one was during our three-day video game bender that we had. Found time to get a little Super Nintendo in with a buddy, and we romped through. Turtles in Time for the Super Nintendo.
Very nice.
So that was good.
I played a lot of that too, but I didn't get to beat it.
I think it's easier with two players. So if you can get a buddy, it's not too bad.
We were doing four
player. And I don't think the enemies increase the difficulty. There might be a few more of them than with a single player, but in general, it's more fun that way too. I think
nice.
So that was what I did for completed.
Very nice.
Yeah. So you didn't beat anything?
Surprise. Didn't beat anything. spent a lot of time on Overwatch with my Overwatch buddies in the Cartridge Club. A little bit with my buddy James. But spent a decent amount of time on the Overwatch. They got the new PvE event. Ran through that. Man, I'm almost sick of it. I still enjoy it. I want to play it on a higher difficulty level because now I can almost just automatically go through this thing. But it's still just fun to shoot waves and waves and waves of robots with these characters that I've known for a couple of years. And Persona 5. So, yeah, I mean, that's really where I've been spending my time. I would say more on Overwatch, probably 60-40. I've advanced a little bit more in Persona 5. Things are getting weirder and better, and I'm 16 hours in and they're still dropping new systems and new things to do in whole new areas of the game. So
cool.
Love it.
Glad you're having fun.
So much fun.
Well, if you'd like to have fun, this episode is sponsored by Cowden Technologies LLC. Caltech specializes in building full stack web applications utilizing modern technologies. If you're looking to take your business idea to market or you have a software need that can support your goals, be sure to contact Cowden Technologies for a free consultation. To get started in building your next concept, email info@cowden.tech. That is info@cowden.tech. And we'd like to thank once more Cowden Tech for helping us out.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Also, if you like what you hear so far, you can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/ApolyKillPodcast.
Mm-hmm.
We're also on the Cartridge Club, cartridgeclub.org. That is O-R-G, short for organism.
Orgasm.
And all of our stuff, our blogs, our videos, naked pictures of our parents,
podcasts.
All that stuff is on podcasts, of course.
Yeah.
We're also on polykill.com. And also you can find Hokey Briz's blogs there. Hokey Briz just joined the Cartridge Club forums.
Yes, he did.
Please rate us on whatever service you use. If you know you click play and maybe slide the mouse over just a little bit and hit a heart or a star or something like that, that really helps us out.
Yeah,
that
boy.
Really helps us out.
It would. We'd love
and,
it.
And we also have a sad, lonely YouTube channel, but it's slowly, it's steadily and slowly growing.
Yeah.
If you'd like to be a part of that, go over and subscribe.
And if you already have, thank you so much. And thank you for listening thus far.
Yes, yes, indeed, indeed.
We appreciate it.
Now it's time for the drum roll.
Long playing girl.
That was pretty good.
That was good. Man. I was going to leave. I left girl for you.
Oh, so, I know. You're usually the girl, man.
I know. You're usually the girl, man.
Games nice. That we long play is for games that we're spending the most time with in our backlog. We've kind of already touched on that. We've been kind of lame
bit.
Lately. We've not been the little butterflies in the game space that we usually are. So if you're a first time listener, we apologize for not being more interesting. But we've been playing like three games because we love them.
We have, and honestly, you know, I feel pretty good about it because we, you know, this space in our backlog and the podcast is designed to sort of just be here for a while. It's a long play. So like for a while, my long play was just a revolving door
of, well, typically nothing.
Well, I mean, I had plans, but yeah. I never actually played it. Uh-huh. But now, you know, I've had Persona 5 on here ever since I got it. Before that, it was Horizon Zero Dawn. Before that, it was The Witcher. So now I think Persona 5 is just going to stay there until it's done.
I hope that you can get more into it. In the next 2 weeks.
Oh, I will be.
Because, I mean, I know you like to play that Overwatch.
Finals are over next week.
I know you love that Overwatch. I know you love that Overwatch. I know all your friends do. But they're taking you away from me and Persona 5. And all the other long-ass games on your backlog.
So. It's true. It's true. I feel like, you know, Overwatch is sort of just taken over just due to the events that have been going on.
Hey, man, it's a great game. I'm just picking. But if it's fun, you know, play it.
That's why I play games, is to have fun.
I've been playing a little bit more of that Witcher Wild Hunt. Now, last time, just give y'all an update. So last time I was here, we were talking about how I was shit at
the combat.
At the combat. I was just terrible at it. And
yeah.
I was having a whale of a time. I'd gotten myself into the deep, dark depths of this beautifully crafted and artistically styled dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
And I was down there with this this lady, which Geralt's very fond of, and she's a very, very beautiful gal, and she's very good at magic, and we're just down there, and we're having a little adventure, and we run into a bit of a pickle. You know, I hadn't been meditating, because I didn't really know what that did, and now I do. It's very important. It refills your life, and lots of your potions, if you're packing alcohol. And so I'm down there, and I've been talking to the fellas at lunch, and I'm like, guys, I'm in a pickle with this Witcher. You know, I'm having a rough go. I see Brian here on the GIFs, on the Reddit. He's just slicing ass, and he's not really even taking names. He's not even taking the time to take names. He's just kicking straight ass.
He's kicking ass and then giving them names afterward.
Yeah, yeah. He's like,
don't care. He's going to call you what he's going to call you.
He's like, squished, Gerald. That's what he does. And so I was like, man, I got to get better at this game. I can't be the guy that's just shit at Witcher. And so I... to get out of my pickle, well, I learned what meditating does, and that helped me out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm not going to lie. I cranked the difficulty down a notch just to get out of this little hole I was in.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
You know, and I beat this little boss at the end of this mission, got back out into the overworld, bumped it back up to where it was. Okay, I just want to say that. You know, just took a little step back to make it a little bit more attainable.
There you go.
Came back, and then I was like, all right, let's learn this combat. Let's get out here and fight some low-level guys and practice dodging and stuff like that. And
mm-hmm.
then, it kind of gave me flashbacks to Bayonetta. It's very rhythmic, you know, slash, slash, maneuver out, jump in, hack and slash, hard slash, maneuver out, and you kind of get a feel for it. And then it's like, damn, this is way more fun than it used to be.
There you go.
Learned that you want to use the dodge button, which is B on the Xbox, mm-hmm. not the roll out of the way button.
The roll button's a little too much. Yeah.
It's a little too much, and it doesn't, you know, if you can dodge, you can get them in the middle of a swipe.
There you go.
Catch them off guard, get them in the side or something, and that's true for most of the enemies, so that's a game changer for me.
Like the way I play it is I use dodge for a smaller bipedal style mm-hmm. enemies, and then when I get to the monsters, that's when I use the roll a little bit more, because you get more range out of it, and most of those monsters have a big old swath that they can cut with their claws or beak or whatever.
Yeah, and so the I gain more confidence in my ability to play the game, and then, you know, I'm still loving you know, every little mission. Like, there is no, they didn't take any side quests lightly in this game.
And you hear people say that, and I heard people say that, and you probably heard me say that.
Yeah, I did.
And, you know, it doesn't really hit home until you're actually out there doing it.
Yeah, there's no two missions in this game that are the same, and that's astounding.
Crazy.
It really is. And the map, I mean, I didn't know how big it could be, but it just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Yep. And you haven't been to Skellige yet?
No, I haven't unlocked a good part of it.
Yeah.
I'm really only on the second part, which is basically where the game starts.
Pretty much.
The first part's kind of a tutorial area, and then it throws you into this other place, and it's big, and I don't feel like I'm anywhere near conquering this first, you know, big chunk yet. So there's so much to it. So I know you've raved about it in previous episodes. It's my turn to gush a little bit. So
love it. I love it. I love hearing about it.
Polykill cannot endorse The Witcher Wild Hunt enough, it seems.
So true. If you haven't played it, you try, if you're still a game, you know, make time for it. You can find it $20-$30 now with everything, all the time. It's constantly going on sale. CG Projekt Red is very generous with their add-ons. You know, like I said, I think the Blood and Wine add-on is like 30 hours.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for God's sake, you know, play the game.
And I guess some, you know, I could see it being for certain people. Like, if you're... It's very intricate. It's very deep. Like, it's, I don't feel like I even have a grasp on how a lot of the systems work. I don't know completely what everything I can do yet with the things I have. So it is very deep. So if you don't really have that amount of time, I can see it maybe not being your game. I could see maybe something like Zelda being more that space where it's like, I have this open world game where I can explore, and maybe it's a little more streamlined.
Sure.
I could see that being an option. I'm not saying the two, they're apples and oranges, but I'm just saying, you know, if you want to run around and kill shit with a sword, those are two options. And I think both of them do it well, but differently.
Mm.
So, it might not be for everybody, but I think everybody should try it or something. It's a spectacle.
I'm with you on that. I guess it was earlier this week, I just arbitrarily decided to have fun and make a list, because lists are fun.
That's our fun.
And, I decided to make a best of the generation list. So I went from everything from games, soundtracks, songs, licensed soundtracks, commercials, trailers, accessories, et cetera, and put them on the Cartridge Club forum. So if you're over there, check that out. And I did put Witcher Wild Hunt as the best overall game of the generation as far as cross-platform games or multi-platform games go. Because I think it just, you know, it's excellent on PC. It's probably not as good graphically or sound-wise on a console, but, like, the disparity is negligible. I mean, it's so good.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I was also, I guess I'm not surprised, because the Cartridge Club is just full of really good, positive people. But you can drop an opinionated list like that. No one busts your balls. They just want to share theirs.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
It was awesome.
So yeah, do check that out. If you're not a member of the Cartridge Club yet, we would recommend you do that.
Yeah, it's a good place.
It's a good way to interact with us and a lot of the other podcasts that that hang out with us in that space.
There you go.
All right, so you got any more to add on the Persona 5?
Not really. I honestly can't remember where I was when I updated everyone last. I can't remember if I'd beaten the first palace or not.
I don't know.
But anyway, I'm at the cool part where you finally get to go to Mementos, which is the underground, and your cat turned into a bus, and you drive around through
the underground.
Is that a spoiler? Not really.
Not really. Okay. Might have been one. We don't know.
I didn't tell you what it is.
Oh, that's true. So, on to the Shad Queer. Games we're playing on the side.
Yeah.
I still, despite the fact that I'm playing The Witcher, and I tell everyone it's eating up all my time, I still find time to play a shit ton of games.
There you go.
I just got to always be playing something different all the time. One of those things for me is the Final Fantasy 2/4, which is a game that's coming up as a feature to the Cartridge Club, playing it on the Super Nintendo. And got a little stuck in a part, but, you know, talked to actually the Cartridge Club, you know, Primero host, P1. Player One, as he goes by, and it's his favorite game. He's like, this is that's his, well, I think he mentioned Breath of the Wild is now his favorite game, but whatever. This one's really high on his list, and that's why it's a Cartridge Club game, the Final Fantasy game. You seem confused.
No.
Okay.
No.
So anyway, so I was like, dude, so I'm not just going to be straight with you. I have never had any luck beating a Final Fantasy game.
If you listen to this podcast, you know that.
Primarily because I don't like to read. Okay, I'm not good at reading. I don't like to battle things and do math. I don't like to manage an inventory. I'm just not good at video games. I don't even know why I'm here. Like, this might be my last podcast. Like, I'm just not good at it. And so I came clear with all that. I'm like, listen, I'm a fraud. I've just been hanging out with Jake. I read a lot of Wikipedia articles before we go on air. I don't know what I'm talking about. Can you help me with this game? I'm stuck. And he gave me some winks and nods to get me through. And so he tells me I'm a little less than halfway through the game, but I'm okay now. Like, I was to a point where I was like, fuck it, I'm out. But now I'm like, okay, I'm good.
Sweet.
I'm quick to give up on those games now. I've been burned by my own
doings.
Ignorance too many times. Yeah. Also played this fantastic NES game that I think is so underrated. So there's no shortage of internet personalities talking about hidden gems on certain platforms. Looking at you, Metal Jesus Rocks. He doesn't listen to this. But, you know, there's no shortage of that. Right. And it's to the point now where it's like, just stop with this. Guys, I found one. I found one that I don't think many people talk about. And it's made by Konami. It's called The Lone Ranger. It's based on the TV show and the stories from old.
Yeah, and starring Clayton Moore and Jay Silverheels.
You can say what you want to say about it. I have no idea because I never actually watched the show.
I watched
but
it a lot.
I did watch the Johnny Depp movie, which was, So, anyway, that game's fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's what you tell me.
Yeah, because it's kind of like Captain Skyhawk. It has a lot of different elements to it. So a good part of the game is this top down. You gotta move around and go to different towns, and some parts of it where you have to side scroll platform and kill outlaws, and some parts of it is first person 3D. So you have to use, like, you know, when it goes into that, you got to get your controller and you're moving in a 3D space, like up, down, left, and right, like turn almost like Doom or like, okay, you know, yeah, it was old school.
Like a dungeon crawler.
Dungeon crawlers, yeah. And you move through like that, but you got to have your zapper ready.
Ooh,
and
nice.
And then when bad guy, when, you know, it'll get to a part, the music will pick up and bad guys will start coming out and you shoot them on the screen, and it has this little square at the bottom of the screen that has an X, and so that's your four views. So when the top one's red, you know, you're facing forward, you shoot those. If the one on the right goes red, you got to turn to the right and shoot those guys. And
that's
awesome. It's really neat.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not way off in terms of the way you would play a game in VR. Really.
It's true, yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously there's leaps and bounds made here, but
it's a very rudimentary concept of it, yeah. But it's as close as they could get at the time. And
that's beautiful.
It works really well. And I will say the game is a little difficult, but it's not poorly designed. It's difficult because it's, you know, tough game.
Yeah.
But if you practice it enough, you get good at it and beat it. I'm a little ways into it. I actually don't know if I'll beat it, because I've heard it's kind of long and a little difficult, but I'm having a lot of fun with it.
That's awesome, dude.
The only detracting, or the only bad part about it, I would say, is that if you go through a big chunk of the game and then you die, there's a lot of, you got to repeat. And that's kind of the bad part.
Is it passwords or saves?
It is
or?
Passwords, okay. But it's at set parts. So you have to make it to this part.
Got milestones.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And lastly, on the NES, man, I played a lot of old school stuff this past few weeks.
Awesome.
So remember you got me Adventures of Lulu 3.
You did.
As a wedding gift, because it, we love it. Me and my wife, and it, you know, has a good spot in my collection.
Yeah.
So we got that and did a little more to it. But man, the game is, that's the hardest of the low lows. It's tough.
Yeah.
A couple times I had to look on, I had to watch some fella do like the first steps of a puzzle on YouTube to be like, oh shit, okay. Yeah, that's what I'm supposed
gotcha.
To do.
Yeah, sometimes you just need that little extra push.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah. Tons of fun, still playing all that stuff. So a lot of old school stuff for old Trav. You know, you wouldn't expect anything less.
That's true. That's why you're here.
That's why I'm here.
That's why you're here. Uh-huh. So I guess I've been playing two things on the side. If Persona 5 is my long play, my main quest, whatever you want to call it, then side quest is going to be Overwatch, specifically the Overwatch Uprising, which is the PvE event, which I've spent a lot of time with. Spent a lot of time with Player One and Musty and all these other people, just partying up and going in there with four players and just you know, knocking out waves and waves of Null Sector bots in King's Row. And it's just always fun. They're a great bunch of guys to hang out with. It's amazing.
Cool, man. I'm glad you're having a lot of fun with it. Yeah. I hear you, there's like a, you guys have a chat going on. Oh, you're always talking about, you know,
always talking about who's going to get on and who's going to play. And
it's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, we've helped each other get some super rare achievements. You know, I got one of the achievements, and I'm sure they did too, because I stayed there to help them. But one of the achievements had, you know, 0.77
of players. Of people. Yeah. That's pretty
had
small.
This achievement. Yeah. Very small. Less than 1%. So pretty happy about that.
Cool.
Got a lot of the skins, a lot of the rare skins. Got cussed out by player one because I got some of the skins he wanted. I don't know if he's gotten the Widowmaker skin yet, and I'm sorry if you haven't, but keep trying.
Yeah, keep trying.
And also, I guess the other one that I've been playing a lot is Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so it's the game of the month for Cartridge Club, which I haven't really participated in that aspect of it.
In terms of the campaign.
In terms of the campaign.
You just want to get those goes.
Because, I beat it years ago. I was, you know, you probably know of my love for that series, specifically Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, because I feel like was the biggest leap from 1 to 2 was like the biggest evolution. From then on, it felt very iterative from 2 on. Until it got really stupid with like Project 8 and Ride and all that shit, where they had a physical skateboard and you did tricks with the fucking control sticks and shit. I didn't want any of that.
Yeah, you don't want to do exercise, man. No. You just
want to. No. I want square to be my flip tricks. I want triangle to be my grinds. And I want circle to be my grab tricks. And X to be my ollie. That's how I want.
Okay.
So, love that shit. So, there's a Beat My Score challenge in the Cartridge Club. So, I asked Travis, like, buddy, do you have that game?
And boy, did I.
And boy, did he.
Yeah.
So, me and this feller, let me grab his Twitter handle. I think he's also works in games, WGS Matt at ADD Defense.
Yeah.
We have been battling back and forth high score wise. He posted his first score at like 700,000 for a 2-minute run. I upped the ante to 860,000 on my next run. Then he got up to like 1,032,000. And then I took it up to 1.3 million in a 2-minute run. So we've been having a blast with it.
Yeah, back and forth. We'll come down to the wire with you two. Maybe a midnight thing there on the last day of April.
It might be. And, I love those games, and just it's so crazy how it all just kind of came back. It's all just in that, you know, muscle memory and how to string together a good line and maintain your manual balance or your grind balance or whatever. And it's just so fun. And the soundtrack to that Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 is great. They're all great soundtracks, but this one has, you know, the lead song is Ace of Spades by Motorhead. So
Ace of Spades,
right up my alley.
Cool, man. I'm glad you're having a lot of fun with that. So you're doing a lot of the social stuff. You're doing more social stuff on the club than me.
This is weird, right?
It's weird because you're the introverted one that just likes metal and staring people down from a distance.
That's true.
I'm the social butterfly that likes to bump in there and make jokes and elbow people in the ribs and everything. So
yeah, I'm not that guy.
Yeah, that's cool though, man.
They've drug it out of me, so I'm happy for that.
That's good, man. So what the club is all about.
Indeed.
All right, so let's move on to this discussion, which is a unique thing that we're going to do today. And unique is in like maybe hopefully we'll never have to do it again.
I don't know. Unique New York.
Unique New York. That's part of our speech warm-ups. We do speech warm-ups.
He does. I don't.
Yeah. Well,
I warm up by drinking beer.
Yeah. So this is going to maybe foster a little bit of much-needed feedback from our audience. You may provide it. You may not. That's fine. But this is going to be sort of an all-access. Jake and I have some things to discuss in terms of Polykill and its future. And don't worry, it's not going away.
Right.
We're just trying to make it
bigger. When we say its future, we're not putting that in question mark or quotations
or
anything.
It doesn't really hinge on this episode, per se. We'll still do this.
Yeah. But we'll do this if we're the only two that listen to it.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. So If you're new to this Polykill thing, you know, we apologize. In my opinion, we've had better episodes, but sit down here with us and let's think this out. Maybe you have some ideas. Maybe you've been around or been a part of or been a patron to, supporter of a podcast, a small outfit, particularly. Now, we have some questions that don't really have answers, like expanding our base. Mm-hmm. How do we gain listeners?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Well, it's like, why do we want to do that? Well, we want to do that. Is it because we want to feel good about ourselves because we have X amount of listens and X amount of Twitter followers? Yeah, a little bit.
That's fun.
Yeah, we work for it. We want it. You know, we spent the money. We got the stuff. We have a thing.
We got a set.
We have a set. Yeah, I mean, that's nice. It's not all of it. I would say more than that. It's just like the club has given us a space where we can interact with people that listen to us, and that's been good.
Agreed.
So the biggest part of growing, I guess, is just making more friends, meeting more people.
Yeah,
I would say that is.
You know, it's always fun to find people that share your hobby or your passion or your interest or whatever like that. And you know, this podcast was born out of our shared interest in it. You know, in games and you know, literally just having more games than time.
Yeah, and running our mouth. That was the big thing.
We're both pretty good at doing that.
Yeah, we can fill some quiet space if you need it filled. Yeah,
that's true.
So then the next question is, well, how do we do this? And obviously, we're a very small fish. It's easy to start a podcast. It is not so easy to maintain one.
Exactly.
It is not so easy to be consistent with one. So but we have that part.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing the part where we're showing up every week, where we're scheduling our lives around making this thing happen.
It's true.
So we're doing that.
Yeah.
Okay. But then it's like we also have to get some other people on board by either word of mouth. A big way of doing that is just being really good, and then people will tell other people.
That helps.
That does help. And you know, when it grows that way, that's nice and rewarding in and of its own, which is how we've done it so far.
Yeah,
and it's been great. But what are some other ways we can do it? You know, do we make some flyers and post them around the local campus? Do we go to more conventions and try to get our name out that way? Do we make some business cards? Because I know some of the other podcasts that we're affiliated with at the Cartridge Club have tried some of these things, and I really have no idea how well any of that works.
Right.
So I try to think, like, if I'm at a con or something and someone hands me a business card and it says, listen to this podcast, I'm gonna be like, why? Like,
right.
what do we...
Yeah, that's always been my issue with any type of, I guess, not really door-to-door sales, but like sort of that just sort of blind recommendation. It's hard to get buy-in, you know, because, you know, like you said, the bar to entry and creating a podcast is so much lower now than it was 10 years ago or whenever these started, that a lot of people are doing it now, and it's really easy to get lost in the shuffle. And, you know, almost literally everybody and their brother has a podcast these days, and it's not a bad thing. I think it's very cool that there's people in the space and getting to do what they like, but there's just a lot to keep up with. And how do we differentiate ourselves enough to be like, look, this is worth your time, et cetera. Or if it's actually not worth anybody's time, how can we adjust it to make it so?
Yeah, the podcast curation is something that, despite the fact that podcasts seem like it would be one of the oldest forms of modern media, just because it's so
true.
Simple to produce, there's only a few ways to access it. And the curation for them is not good, in my opinion, because, you know, if you, let's say, the most casual person in the world only uses Spotify to listen to everything,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, Spotify will only have podcasts on its list that are usually affiliated or owned by bigger corporations.
Right. Or just known quantities in this space, like a Mark Maron or a Joe Rogan or somebody. Like, they're just in.
Yeah, automatically.
By default.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, they make great content. We're not aspiring to be that.
No.
I mean, it'd be great, but it's not going to happen.
Right.
And some smaller hosting sites, like even the one that we use, will, and Libsyn's not small,
no,
but it's one of many, and they're doing some betas for featuring some podcasts on Spotify, and it's like, wow, that would be so neat. Because I feel like, in some regard, it's not who you are or what you are, it's where you are.
Right, it's exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's even from just as simple as like hosting it somewhere. Can my host provide me these outlets?
Mm.
And I think ours does.
Yeah.
Some ideas that I've had for ways to maybe pick up some folks is maybe Twitch live streaming an episode, maybe trying that one time. And there's pros and cons to both. One would be, or a pro would be, like, we might be, dare I say, entertaining enough to pull that off and make it fun. Because I think we could interact with the people, and we generally are fairly upbeat and funny. We're not
right.
getting too deep or anything like that. We would foster a good conversation with people. The bad side is, I don't know, you have to have some buy-in before you commit to something like that. Like,
it's
I wouldn't want at least X amount of people to say, yeah, we'll be there, because I don't want to start it and get it all set up and cameras rolling. And I kick my wife off Netflix, so we had the whole bandwidth. And we get here, and it's just like Hokey Briz, our big buddy. You know, he'd be there for us,
yeah.
And he'd be like, where's everybody? I'm like, I don't know, man.
Like, hey, man, what are you doing? You go get a pizza?
Yeah, he'd be like, I thought you guys were popular. It's like, eh, we're not that popular. We just were trying this out. So, but there's some things like that. And one problem with that was, you can't do it we can't do it all the time because our schedules won't allow it to be a scheduled thing.
The streaming is, you have to be consistent.
You have to be consistent.
And
but if we said that, you know, hey, episode 42 is going to be live streamed, that's one thing. But to say we're going to live stream every episode, that, I mean, that's just not feasible.
No. I mean, honestly think, you know, the more I think about it, and as we've been discussing this, I think maybe once we hit like a milestone episode, like episode 50 or something, maybe we shouldn't just live stream it because it's episode 50 and like use that as an excuse to do it.
Yeah. Well, that's fair enough. Yeah.
And just see what happens, because, you know, we could tell everybody in the club and all our friends on social media to, you know, tweet it out, share it, whatever, and maybe get some interest. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm with you there. So that's those are some things to think about. So also, a lot of podcasts are in two spaces at once. They're audio and video.
Right.
And we've chosen to do that because we felt that that would improve our chances of being noticed or picked up. And now we're not saying we have a pretty face or that we have the best camera equipment or that we have the best lighting or we have the best set.
We do okay with what we have.
But I think we do okay.
We're nitpicky about it.
But, you know, hour-long podcasts, typically, unless you're somebody like a Tom Segura or a Joe Rogan, they're not being watched all the way through.
Right.
You know, in terms of being watched, people might turn them on and listen to them and use it as their podcast service.
Yep.
You know, from a desktop aspect, you can't even listen to podcasts on Spotify. So, you know, our friends that listen to us typically listen to us on YouTube, I would think, at work or whatever.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah.
But we don't get a ton of we don't have a ton of YouTube traction, like,
at all.
To be quite frank, we have much, much more listens through Libsyn than we. Most of our listens on our YouTube channel are us going back and making sure the video is good.
Yeah.
And that's where 10 of them at least come from, and they end up with like 15.
Yeah.
So people aren't noticing that as much. No, but you know, we've picked up some subscribers, and we're producing some other content that's peddling our brand, so to speak.
Yep.
Like, you know, the Let's Plays, the Hoss and Outs, the unboxings, and that kind of thing. And I feel like we do that stuff to attract people to our podcast, not the other way around.
Right, because there's a cult of personality thing that's important here. Because if you do, you know, part of the buy-in for me, for anything, especially when it comes to a podcast or a show, is that I need to some way like the person or the people, or at least one of the people involved. And a way to do that is to, you know, try to show as much of yourself as you can, you know, as much as you want to feel comfortable with. And, you know, doing some goofy videos is a way to say, these guys are cool. What else do they do? And that's usually the rabbit hole I tumble down when I find something I enjoy. I'm like, okay, this is fun. What else do they have? And then usually that'll lead to something else. So that's sort of the mentality that I have about it, because I think that's how I operate. I honestly don't know if that's how everyone does, but
no, I agree completely with you there. And some things that we could think about is more YouTube content. What could we do? Well, we have these Hoss and Outs,
right,
our Let's Play videos,
right,
and everything that we do YouTube wise is not on a schedule aside from the Polykill podcast.
Correct.
So we record the Polykills. Jake edits in the audio. See, this is full access. This is VIP shit.
Here we go.
Jake, we record the podcast like a day or two ahead of time, and then Jake takes the audio and beefs it up and adds in all the flair and frills. He pushes that out, and then I take that audio and throw it back over the video and scrap the video audio and cut it in to where it looks good, and then I have to, you know, compress it into a video and then upload it to YouTube, and that sometimes takes a couple days because, believe it or not, we work. We have schedules. We can't just... We do other things. So we're both professionals, and there's not a lot of time to sit by your computer and wait for something to upload. I know that's a problem for everybody in the space, though.
Exactly. Level, for sure.
Yeah. I'm sure not everybody just works at their podcast. So it's a limitation, and we try hard to be quick and on a schedule with it, but it doesn't always work out.
Right.
You know, because, you know, we've got the podcast to a schedule. We used to just try to do it every 2 weeks. Now we're like... Mondays, okay. Yeah. Every other Monday.
Yeah, and like today, we're both tired, you know. But we're committed to making sure that, you know, that we're consistent. Because every time I've looked up advice on how to grow your podcast or your brand or whatever, you know, you see these people, you know, like at the high level, like the Kind of Funny guys or whatever, they're like, okay, here's my best advice: just be consistent, just don't stop, just keep doing it. To set a schedule and do it. I'm like, that's so vague, but we're doing that. You know, I mean, then that's... You know,
I think it's worked a little bit. I mean...
I think it's helped.
Yeah.
It's obviously not, you know, this isn't an overnight thing. This is not a turnkey thing where just immediately you find, oh, here's this get a million subscriber button I just haven't clicked yet. You know, it takes work, but yeah, I don't know where I was going with that. But anyway, we're trying to be consistent.
Yeah.
And we're sometimes inconveniencing our other aspects of life to be consistent.
Sure.
Maybe a little bit. Not bad, but well.
Right. And but my point was, YouTube, we've not done that. Like,
true.
You know, we get together for the podcasts, and then if we want to do a Hasan out, we usually do, like, we record, like, five at once, yeah. And then I take what's good out of that, make a video out of it. But I'm doing that, like, I wake up, like, an hour early. I'm in my underwear sipping coffee and hanging out with my cat, trying real quick to get as much done on a video as I can. I might not finish it. I might finish it. If I finish it, great. I'll throw it on the internet. If not, the next morning I gotta, you know, I get another few minutes, you know, with one bloodshot eye in front of the computer, trying to get this thing edited and out. And you know, it's not the playing the games that's the problem. It's that aspect of it.
Not
so
at all, yeah.
So there's a lot that goes to it. So, but could we? What I'm saying is, with that, is there more content we can make? Well, sure, I think so. I mean, we could, you know, we did the unboxing thing, which at first we talked about, and we're like, is that a trite thing? Is that a thing that's just way too overdone? But it's like,
turns out there were shit tons of Persona Take Your Heart unboxing videos. Like, we uploaded mine, and just like in the side recommendation, there's like the whole sidebar was just recommendations of people unboxing that. And I was like, well, you know, that's cool to be part of the movement, I guess.
But yours was good.
Yeah,
it's not just just another grainy video of people opening a box. That's, you know, true. We put some thought into it and tried to flare it up some. So I think that's just what we just have to be consistent with that, with the effort, which we always will be. I don't think we're going to put anything up that we're not proud of, except maybe our first 15 podcasts.
Yeah, those we should take down.
Those we should absolutely take down. But, you know, what are some other ideas for more content? Like, I tend to collect video games, or would people be interested in me just running around my house with a camera being like, look what I got? Like, maybe, maybe not. Some people do that. There's more than enough of them on the internet.
Sure.
But then you have to ask, like, do people like what you got, or do people like you?
Exactly.
I don't think we know how much people may or may not like us as individuals.
Yeah.
We know how much people listen to our podcasts.
Right.
But people might just think we're the worst.
It's possible.
Yeah, like,
it's possible. And to clarify, just in case it isn't obvious, this is not us bitching about how we're not big. This is us.
Oh, no.
This is not that. Is us just legitimately trying to you know, I guess, verbalize some thoughts. And if you have any feedback on anything that we've discussed so far, or will momentarily, you know, let us know.
I think a lot of the hurdles are, it's like, what would be a good thing? You know what? How we want to do more, like, what would be a good idea? Like, what would stand out? Like, what would be different? What would not make us look like every other person that's ever done anything?
Because you do want to stand out, because it is a crowded space.
A very crowded space. Mm-hmm. We thought about maybe putting Jake in front of a camera and just, because you have some ideas about some, because you, is it fair to say you're a big fan of Colin Moriarty and, like, his style?
Yeah, I am.
You are that. Like, I feel like you are, I mean, I'm not going to say you're Colin Moriarty.
No, I know.
I'm saying, you know, between the two of us, you for sure have that twinge of, you know, deep philosophical thoughts and ideas, and you're very good at communicating those. Does that fit the Polykill space? I don't know. What is the Polykill space?
I mean, the Polykill space is the Jake and Trav space.
It's whatever we want it to be, right?
Yeah. So, like, I feel like if it's, as long as we're just being us and not trying to be something else, I'm okay with whatever.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I think at first we were really like, we're gaming, and, you know, if it's not gaming, then it doesn't fit, because we're trying to be a gaming podcast. But it's like, we're just trying to be a we thing.
Yeah, just trying to be us.
We're just trying to do us. Like, if I want to do a video where I just, like, you know, cook, like, on the porch.
You, like, should do that.
Be like, hey, here's...
You should live stream that.
Yeah, and it's like, it's okay if nobody cares and nobody watches it. Or is it? Does it get, like, if somebody likes so much the rest of our shit, and then we made some, like... We had some shitty offshoot, like, let's say, off kilter.
Yeah, exactly. Like, when we get drunk and talk about shit.
Yeah. Like, does that ruin Polykill for those people?
I just don't think it does. I really think it goes back to that whole being in touch and involved and that cult of personality thing, where it's like, I, you know, like I do on Bandcamp. Okay. I will go find this super obscure underground heavy metal band from Azerbaijan or something, and I'm like, I like this stuff. And then I'll, like, email these people, and I'll talk to them, and I'll, you know, have conversations with them on Twitter, or, you know, I'll buy their, you know, vinyl that they've made 100 of or something like that. And, at that point, it's almost like this weird investment I have in their success. I want to see them grow. I want to see them get big. And, you know, I've gotten some shout outs from people on Facebook and on Twitter for doing that.
Yeah.
So I feel like, I mean, once again, this is all based on my personal bias, but I just feel like that's kind of how it has to be done at this point, since there's so many content creators that you have to endear yourself to your audience before they'll care enough to venture further or to share you with others.
And there's a double-edged sword to some of it too, because it's like, should we, you know, we're talking about how do we expand? Should we double down and focus on the thing that we're good at, which... I believe is this.
We're good at this. Good enough.
Well, yeah, it's passable.
Yeah.
Or do we spread ourselves thin and try to just throw anything that sticks at the wall? Because, you know, like I had my Rusty Reviews thing, and those are good for a bit, but they trailed off. I think the first one was funny, and the rest of them were just like, oh, it's the same shit. Like, that could happen to anything.
Literally anything.
You know? So, I don't know. It's just some things to think about. But I'm like you, I'm not opposed to piloting, so to speak, some ideas, sure, throwing them out there.
We should do that. We should have a Polykill pilot season, and we make these episodes of like three different show ideas.
That would be funny.
And then just put them out there.
That'd be fun to do anyway.
It would
be. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's do that.
Because, I mean, I have tons of like skit video ideas that are just not related to anything. But we could totally do that.
Let's do it.
Like, what's it going to matter? Do you think...
Well, it's fun.
41 or however many YouTube subscribers. I mean, somebody in there is going to like it.
Somebody's going to watch it.
Why not? Just try it. When it comes to making content on YouTube, where do we peddle it? When we make it on YouTube, I just put it on Twitter. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
I don't put it anywhere else. I don't tell anybody else about it.
It's true.
That's probably not good because we don't have that many Twitter followers. we hashtag a little bit.
That doesn't always work either.
But yeah, I mean, do you ever check hashtags?
Sometimes.
Are you ever like, oh my God, hashtag Motivation Monday. Let me dive in. What do we got here in the Motivational Monday?
The only time I check a hashtag is if it's like something weird or...
If somebody dies. If it's a famous actor.
If it's a rip something, I always check the rips.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you got to.
Got to check them rips.
Yeah, even if it's not. Like if it just says William Shatner, I'm like, no. Click on, like, oh, he's fine. He's starring in a thing or did an interview or whatever, and somehow he's trending because of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe we need to find some other places to
share that video content.
Yeah, the video content.
And we do put them on our website. We do put them on the our space on the Cartridge Club website as well. The videos, right?
Of the podcast,
of the podcast.
Let's plays,
right? Those do not.
No.
So we should do that.
Maybe. Improving the Facebook page. Do you think Facebook leads to listens?
I don't know.
Because we don't have much fanfare on Facebook, but we do have listens. How much of that is cross? Do you think people... Do you think a Facebook attracts new listeners, or do you think listeners already just go to Facebook? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it peddles us in any way.
I agree. It's there if you want to.
It's just a worse version of our website.
True. It's true. I mean, it's there because you kind of have to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need a space there. But otherwise, I don't think it's a good, you know, tool to grow with. I mean, I've heard nothing but awful things about Facebook ads. Every time I mentioned it somewhere on a forum or a Reddit, they're like, don't do it. So we haven't.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it works. I never click Facebook ads. I don't know anyone that does, but people apparently still buy them, so maybe they work.
But do you think it would be something like, does it show you, because I haven't had Facebook in years, does it recommend pages to people? Like, could we come up as, hey, this falls in line with your interests?
Yeah.
You might also like these pieces of shit.
Correct. That would happen.
But then they would click on it and be like,
they have 30 likes and shitty videos, so let's go on somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that literally could happen.
But do we take the time to spruce that up, you think? Or does it matter? Like, that's kind of what we're caught in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing.
If anybody out there has done a podcast and you've had a lot of good things come out of your Facebook...
a good case study would be cool.
Yeah, let us know what we can do to make it better.
Yeah, yeah.
Improving the Twitter presence. That's where we are, though. That's where we're at. We're Twitter people.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of members of the Cartridge Club use Twitter. I think Twitter is essentially the self-promotion tool of the masses.
Mm-hmm.
You can self-promote yourself as an individual. You can be a company. You can be any entity whatsoever. But you have a voice in 140 characters or less.
And you're just as accessible as anyone else.
Right.
That's the beautiful. It's very egalitarian in terms of access.
Which is great. And so we have our individual accounts because we were individuals before we were podcasts.
Correct.
And I tend to still post things that are related to Polykill or gaming from that. I don't post much else because I have other accounts for like sports specific things. Like I try to keep a very focused avenue on my Twitters, but you know, Traff Plays Games is essentially me playing games.
There you go.
And then you have your McAxel, and you've had that account for a long time. You do music.
I do whatever.
About movies. You talk about whatever.
I do not segregate. Just like it's all me.
You shouldn't have to, man. That's you. People want to follow you. If they like you, they follow you.
Yeah, fucking.
And then we have the Polykill, and we thought that would be a good idea. It's like, hey, let's.
You almost kind of have to. Right?
Well, yeah. I mean, so I think some folks don't, but you know, we don't want to inundate people with things they don't want. So if you just want, you know, to hear us peddle the podcast constantly, you would follow us on Polykill.
Right.
And we try to be cute with it sometimes, and react to people and say things as the podcast, and not just be, you know, here's a video, here's a podcast,
right.
here's a video.
I hate those Twitter feeds, man, where it's just like I posted a video, or you know, it's like there's no personality to it at all. And if you do that, that it's just my opinion. I just don't like that because
that's not something I would follow.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'll find this elsewhere.
Yeah. So, but can we improve that Twitter presence at all? Maybe, I mean, we have, you know, we have some followers there on the podcast, but do we do enough interaction? Is there some trick we could do? Is there more hashtags we can be a part of? Is there more campaigns we can, you know, jump into? Like, I really don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I'm happy with the way our Twitter presence is, honestly.
Yeah, I'm not, I think it's our strongest thing, period.
Yeah,
better than the videos and the podcast. I think our Twitter account's amazing.
Yeah, we should just be a Twitter account.
We should just be a Twitter account. Yeah,
that's
like,
all
like shit my dad says or something.
Yep. And we've kind of touched on this a little bit in terms of videos, but alternative shows. So we have Off Kilter,
right?
And we did have Collect Call,
right?
In the past,
which people loved that.
Yeah, and we've dabbled with your philosophical hot jakes or whatever it is, whatever it might become or could be, because we did talk about it.
It's not a thing
we've committed to in any way, but alternative shows. So I know a lot of podcasts that do have alternative shows. They make that like a different podcast. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I have seen that, and there's nothing really wrong with that. But I don't really like the whole segregation there. I think it's bad personally. I get it, but I just think people should be able to go to one place to get your stuff.
I think it's good if a show is like an entity, say like a group of people.
Like a Rooster Teeth.
Or there's a lot of even smaller ones that do this as well, but they will segregate the channels because a lot of times the host is a different person. Like it's just the same group of people, but it's like, this is a show that Jimmy and Dottie do, and this is a show that George and Kevin do, and we're all on each other's shows, but this is more them and this is more us.
Gotcha.
But we're still under the same umbrella. But, you know, Off Kilter and, you know, Collect Call and Polykill is just me and you.
Correct.
And if you want to get me and you stuff, come to Polykill.
Come to Polykill.
Yeah, and you'll get, because I mean, Off Kilter is not going to stand by itself.
No,
I don't think.
No, that's definitely just, you know, if you like hearing us talk, here's another hour and a half of us talking more. Like that's literally all it is.
Yeah, and for the six people that enjoy that, that's great. I'm glad
we've gotten a lot of interaction off of that podcast from people, and we like that.
Yeah, a few. It's not quite the listener base of Polykill, because I get that.
Right.
I get that it's not, you know,
it's not a bread universal,
yeah, but it's still fun for us. It's still, I mean, I want to continue to do them.
I like talking.
Yeah, you do. And then Collect Call, which may make a comeback. It involves,
don't call it a comeback.
But it involves, you know, having a schedule and aligning myself to it, and coordinating that with somebody else, and trying to fit that into an upload schedule. And life's been a little hectic recently, so I want it to come back. We just have to get the right subset of people to talk to and get that all lined up and get it going. Find ways to improve it. Like, I don't want to bring it back and it'd be the same thing. I want to find, you know, new and fun things to do with it as well. So looking forward to putting some thought into that. But our alternative shows, I guess the reason I have this on here, and I guess we touched on, is like, do you think it detracts from Polykill by having them share that space? But I don't think so, because it's still just us.
Yeah, I think you're right, especially at our size.
Yeah, I mean, we're super small.
Yeah.
I agree. What about some things that we can do, fun things to get our brand out there, so to speak, in terms of merchandise?
Yeah, this like, is something that we've dabbled in. Now, not dabbled in, we've thought about.
If you ask me, hey, do you think your podcast is big enough to sell merchandise? I would laugh and say no. But then, because we're small. Like, what are you going to do? Say, like, yeah, we know. But if you think about how easy it is nowadays to get that stuff made and printed.
It's so true.
You know, it doesn't have to be. I guess when I think merchandise, I think we need crates of shit ready. But right. You don't need that now.
No.
You can do custom orders for two or three people if they wanted one. And they don't, you know, it's not about money in that sense. Like, I want to sell t-shirts with our logo on it because I think our logo is bomb as fuck. I think it's awesome.
It is.
And I think our color scheme looks good. I really like it. Yeah. And I wouldn't mind seeing myself or somebody else wearing a t-shirt with it on it.
Yeah. And shout out to my sister for designing that logo for us. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you so much, Heather. Yeah. That was really, really good.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of nods throughout. I think some people may like our logo more than the podcast.
I do.
Which is fine. Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you there.
I'm fucking with you.
But it's like, what does that do for us? Because I don't know that it advertises a podcast to wear a t-shirt that says Polykill on it.
Yeah. I don't know about that. You know, I mean, maybe if we like had some tagline or something like that to put
got Polykill.
Yeah. I don't know.
Calm and Polykill.
Stop it. We're going to do a Harlem Shake video next. I think that the idea of having merchandise is just cool. You know, having a physical manifestation of something that you created.
Yeah.
I think is really cool.
Even if we're the only ones to have it.
Even if they're just mugs here on this here table.
Yeah.
You know, as far as that as advertising, like if we're in a space where people are looking for that sort of thing, and we're wearing a shirt that says Polykill, they might be intrigued to ask us. You know, sure. if I'm just, you know, getting gas at Hess, I don't think me wearing a Polykill shirt is going to do anything. No, I could be wrong.
But maybe you have to wear it to a convention. And yeah. I think it would have to say something about a podcast on it.
Yeah.
But if you were to like a convention or into just a GameStop, you know, maybe you get people to take notice. I don't know. But like you said, the people that we're talking to are probably t-shirt wearing coffee drinking folk. And so it stands to reason that they might support us that way.
Yeah, it's possible.
Which brings us to Patreon. So a lot of people have suggested to us, hey, why don't you guys have a Patreon? Do you guys have one? You guys going to get a Patreon? Like, I don't know. Like,
it's a beautiful idea.
It is.
It really is. And I think it's opened a lot of doors for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's something that kind of has to exist now, given just the way media sales are. And art sales are, and the way the general market handles creative content. I think Patreon just was a natural evolution of that. In our case, you know, I don't think that we have nearly the following or buy-in or care from anybody to do one. That's not to say that, you know, once we hit a certain tier or something like that we might not consider it. And we've even considered it already.
Yeah.
But I just don't know.
I mean, the pros is, you know, it paid for some overhead, you know,
if we get money.
Yeah. If we were to get some money, I mean, even if it were like, well, there's a certain level of it. It's like up to this point, it just warms the heart to know that people care.
Sure.
And then, you know,
and leaves it ice cold if no one does.
Yeah, like there's, you know, whatever. But yeah, there's a certain level of it. I mean, if we were getting a lot of money, let's say a lot of money to us is like $50 a month.
Sure.
I would say that puts a lot of pressure on us to find ways to improve, you know, the where it shows.
Yeah, unless we were just, okay, you mentioned Colin Moriarty. I'll mention his new Patreon. His new Patreon is, look, the reason that I'm doing Patreon is because I don't want ads, and this is my job, and I'm going to do this. I don't care how much money a month I get. This is what I'm giving you.
Yeah.
And he was just upfront about it, and, you know, we got a shit ton of money. So, like, if we were able to do it like that, it's like, guys, the show's not really going to change, you know, as far as, you know, I mean, that would be one way to look at it. I don't know. I don't know if I feel good about that, but it's just something that I know has worked.
I think for us, what would work well, because we do have a sponsorship, and that does help us pay for certain things like our little overhead costs with hosting, and frankly, it helps the time swallow a little better. It helps, you know, adding little things here and there that maybe a lot of people, maybe it goes unnoticed, but for us, we feel like we need it, mm-hmm. you know, little adds to the microphone or little things here and there. Yeah. You know, a lot of that stuff we get through our very fortunate sponsorship that we have, and it's not to say that, you know, we don't want more sponsorships or anything like that, but I think where a Patreon would be interesting for us would the creation of somewhat exclusive content. So mm-hmm. not changing what we have, but maybe making certain things that are
kind of behind the paywall.
Yeah, a little bit. And it's not like, again, it's not like if we were to throw a Patreon up right now, we'd probably make about, what, $4?
Maybe.
And that's great. But those people would get to see my, you know, drunk game room tour vid, which
has been in existence for like 2 months now.
It's been in existence for 2 months, and I'm like, that is not going on YouTube just for anybody. But, you know, if somebody wanted to, you know, if it were behind a paywall or
I still haven't seen it.
You recorded it.
I know, but I haven't seen it, though.
It's a mess, and it will not be on YouTube in that way. But, you know, something like a cartridge or a cartridge club, Jesus, something like a Patreon would be good, because yeah, then I would feel better about sharing it with certain folk.
Yeah.
And then there's the cons of it, which is now we're having to promise exclusive content, because it's not just like, hey, if you support us on Patreon, I'll show you this one video of me walking around my room drunk. We have to come up with a lot of ideas that we think's worth it to make, mm-hmm. because we're going to have initially a small audience, so it's like, you know, what would be great enough for these folk that we can't share? Maybe they just get a head start on it too. You can do that.
I mean, and you kind of like in our space, and not to just go on about this Patreon, but like I think the problem is we could find ourselves in this chasm where it would be like we get $10 a month, and we're like, we're doing, you know, like. Honestly, it's not super taxing finding the time to do this, but it can be a little strenuous at times.
Yeah, I think
to put things together.
Yeah, and we're only twice a month or whatever. The weekly podcast. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, but like we're already not at max capacity, but you know at times we are, and then we're gonna have this like we're doing all this extra work for $10 a month, and it's gonna be like. But then you realize, like, those people still paid it. You know, it's you kind of find yourself in this weird no man's land of gratitude and resentment.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, in my opinion, I don't think a Patreon solves any issues we have now, because, you know, if we want to get bigger, I don't know the Patreon helps that.
I think it helps you
thin.
If you are.
But I think if we, you know, if we eventually get a bigger audience, maybe it's something we turn to, because it's like, hey, now we have a way to show some exclusive content to.
Right.
Or maybe interact more with certain people, but we could, you know, we're way too small for, in my opinion, for that.
Agreed.
And also too, the humbling stats that Patreon shares with everyone about you. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, we're high on ourselves. We're Polykill. We got a good podcast. We got up to, you know, we got a few dozen listeners. Hey, listen, people are paying attention to us, and then they get on Patreon. They're like, did you know that Patreon only has like
$4?
Yeah, they make $4 from one guy.
They actually make, well, I mean, I don't even know what Patreon's cut is, but you know, it's probably at least 20 or 30%. So you know, we would get $2.70 a month.
That's the thing to me that I was like, I don't think we're ready for it yet, because I don't really want to know what people think about us.
No, that's true.
I'm okay with just seeing the Libsyn stats.
It's like asking that girl, rather not even attempt asking that girl out, because I don't want to hear her say no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the way it is. But I think the baseline is we do want to continue to grow any way we can.
Mm-hmm.
Ways that you can help us, if you don't want to send us an email and come out right and give us some tips, is just a like and rate us wherever you listen to us. That's
huge.
That's maybe one of the biggest things, to be quite honest with you, especially for a little podcast our size. If you do like us, that goes a long, long, long way. If you did like what you heard in this episode, I think we're about to wrap it up here. I am Travis. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at TravPlaysGames.
Yes, you can. And you can find me on the Instagram and the Twitters at Let me Axel.
And together we are at Polykill. As always, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/Polykill Podcast. Be sure to check out our Sad Lonely YouTube channel, which we're looking to make better, I promise. Yeah. Just search Polykill out because we don't have our own URL yet. Like I said,
the easiest way to find us is to subscribe. It'll always be there for you then.
Always, yeah. Whether we put you know, in the next 2 months or not.
Who knows?
Rate us on iTunes and or whatever. Visit polykill.com. That's where all of our stuff is. That's where Brian's blogs are. That's where all of our videos are. Everything, podcast, you name it. You can find it all there. Some of it,
yep.
Like the first 15 podcasts, mm-hmm. we're not real proud of, but they're there.
Yeah.
They're there for you. And you can also interact with us and talk to us on the cartridgeclub.org. That is O-R-G, short for organism.
Or gasm.
And coming up next week, we are bringing in the Big Daddy from the Cartridge Club to be our first ever guest on Polykill.
Yeah, boy.
So you'll get to hear a little more about Overwatch while I sit in the corner and don't talk for maybe 20 minutes of the episode. But you will get maybe a new long play. You'll probably get to hear some new side quests. You'll get to hear about some whole new games for us to talk about, and maybe you'll enjoy that. So come back next week. We went next a little episode. Over in time or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Doesn't fucking matter. You can come back next week and listen to this again. And then the next week, you can hear episode 40. It's our big 40.
Big 40.
All right. See you guys later.
Peace.